ابن العظم we're starting from the mission at the bottom of the Amud. No der min achalav mutar bekum. Rabbi Yossi Osir. Rabbi Yossi Osir. Akum mutar bechalav. So one restricts themselves in having milk, is allowed to drink or have the kum. What exactly is the kum? So that's if you look in the Ran says kum hainu mayim hayotzim min achalav. It's the water that comes out of the milk. But it seems to be that it's something that naturally separates in the milk. Meaning that if you have milk, the water floats to the top, the cream, right, I don't know, is at the bottom or either way, other way around, but they have some sort of natural separation in the milk. And I think that's true. Today, our milk's not like that because right, we're already mixed and separated and all those good things. But if you have natural milk, really, you know, newly milked milk from the cows, that if you put that in the fridge, you actually have to mix it before you can drink it. But a lot because of the cream that goes to the top, but there's apparently there's also some water that floats to the top here. All right. Rashi calls it nisyuve de chalva. Also. All right. So now Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, if you say chalav, it includes kum. Mina kum, if you simply say kum, then mutar b'chalav. You're allowed to drink milk, meaning that kum does not restrict you in milk. Now that statement in the Gemara seems to be muskam. You know, like Rashi says, it's divrei akol. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree. If you used the term kum, then be chalav. And that would not include chalav. Now, everybody seems to agree to that point, that this part of the Mishnah is divrei akol, and even Rabbi Yossi agrees to it. But the Ran, on the other hand, says, well, sounds like from this part of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi is mod debaha, that he agrees to this. But there's a brace in the Gemara that says just otherwise. Well, the problem is, our brace in the Gemara does not ever suggest otherwise, which is something to question why the Ran says that there is this brace, and we don't seem to have the brace that the Ran is referring to. Unless, we'll see today, maybe the brace he's referring to seems to imply that Rabbi Yossi would disagree, but at least it does not explicitly say what the Ran and mentions over here. Okay, next, Abishol Omer, Hanoder min Agvina, one who restricts himself from cheese, Asur ben Melucha Utzvela. He's restricted whether it is salty, or we'll call it unsalted or plain. Hanoder min Abasar, someone restricts himself in meat, Mutar berotev ubi kippa. He can have rotev and kippa. What's rotev and kippa? So Rashi says rotev is marak. It sounds like the gravy of some sort. And the kippah is makfe ava, right, with tavlin, some sort of thick, thick broth or film that comes with the spices. Some of the other, the Rosh here points out that it's, what's the kippah? It's a dak basar, the very thin pieces of meat. Rotev and nikva b'shuleg dera, and the gravy or the water that gathers at the bottom of the pot. So if you cook meat, there are these thin pieces of meat that fall away from the meat that go to the bottom of the pot, plus the liquid that's found at the bottom of the pot. That's what he calls the rotev and the kippah. Ran seems to come. It's not clear to me if Ran and mutar barotev and kippah says kippah hainu dak shel basar shered leshuleik deira. So he seems to connect them all. I mean, I don't know if they're separate items, but they seem to be whatever they are not the ikar basar. They're not the main meat. Right, they're a sideshow or leftovers, and therefore, if you take a nether from meat, you do not include these items. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, but Rabbi Yehuda says you do include those items because I'm Rabbi Yehuda Maaseh Asar Aleinu Rabbi Tarfon Beveitza. Right, the Rabbi Tarfon restricted us when it came to Beitim Shenitpashlu Imo. They were cooked with meat, so that's the classic eggs in the chalent. Right, so they put eggs in the chalent, and then the eggs took on the flavor of the chalent. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we had a case with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said that those eggs are restricted, meaning that they are considered like basar. Someone who restricts the symptoms of basar cannot eat these eggs. So Amrulo, right, now the Ran over here suggests that this whole piece of the Gemara is a support for Rabbi Yossi above. Now, this is not even, like, here it sounds like the Gemara is supporting the Rabbi Yehuda's position, that it has to do with that meat includes broader categories of meat, not just meat itself, of anything flavored by the meat or connected to the meat. Whereas the Ran makes a statement here, this is L'sayel Rabbi Yossi. That's this case is to help Rabbi Yossi, who said above, when you restrict chalav, you include kum, even derivatives of the chalav. Right, but either way, the case here suggests that even when you are restricted in basar, there is a derivative or a tam of basar that will affect affect the eggs, and therefore the eggs will be restricted under your nether. So Amrullah, they responded to Rabbi Yud and said, "Kena devar chamim margam." Rabbi Yud said, "Kena devar, you're right that Rabbi Tarfon did such a such a thing, but a matai." When did he agree? When did this case come up? Is Banshi Omar Basar Ze Alai? And when he says this Basar is restricted to me, so here he used the term Basar Ze, this particular Basar. Versus when he says Basar without the word Ze, which says I'm restricted in meat. Over here it says this piece of meat is restricted to me. So therefore, this piece of meat becomes a Chaticha Shel Isura. It becomes a chaticha shel isura, becomes a, something that would is otherwise restricted. And when we have a chaticha shel isura, then we have something called notein tam. Right, so therefore, noder min davar, person takes a neder from an item, vinit arev ba'acher, and get mixed up with others. Yesh bo notein tam, if it can give flavor, asur, then it's asur. Obviously, if it does not give flavor, then it's not asur. Another min ayayin, someone who takes restrictions of in wine, mutar betapshel sheyesh bo tam yayin. To say you make meat or you marinated meat, then you put wine into the gravy, into the meat. That person is not restricted from eating that meat, even though there's wine in it. Tapshel sheyesh bo tam wine, yayin. Amar konim yayin ze. Right now, it seems to be that the Bach has changed the gears here to read amar konim shani toim, not ze, but shani toim. And then the wine falls into a cooking, some sort of cooking or cooked item that you're having. Gives flavor.
I don't know if takes out the zeh, but he changes it from sha'ani to
sha'ani. But I thought it was like, took it. Oh, he doesn't take out the zeh, but maybe the Ran, somebody else took out the zeh. But they took out the word zeh. Somebody took it out.
And the zeh would be consistent of here, because that would be comparable to the
zeh. Yeah, but you'll see why we don't want the zeh.
Yeah, he quotes the Rashash, the Mirash and Meharan, Mashman to Lagashi and Taylor's zeh.
Right, okay, so there is right. So you'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara
has a, the first Venetia.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Because the Gemara, you'll see later on, the Gemara is querying about these Lashonos. It seems to be that the Gemara has two different, it's queried about Zeh, or Alai, and then about Zeh, and Sheini Toim. Which Mashma, it sounds like those are the two cases of the Mishnah. The Gemara is trying to understand, you know, how do they work. Alright, so Sheini Toim, but not Fabul Tabshil falls on there, Mishbul on the Tamar Zeh Asua. Alright, so the cases seem basic enough, which is that the issue at hand here is what's subsumed in a larger category, right? If you say Chalav, is kum included? If you say gvina, what's included? If you say basar, what's included under these larger categories? Then the Mishnah introduces a new concept, which is that if you take a nether from a specific item, that specific item becomes a what's called chaticha surah, the equivalent of having treif meat. And once that item becomes treif meat, then we know what the rules are with regards to a something that's asur. What are the rules? That therefore, if it falls into something else, or if it flavors something else, right, then it has impact. So as opposed to the first half of the Mishnah, where these broad categories were only after the item itself, what's subsumed under this category, over here, once you make something into a particular asur item, we not only worry about it, the item itself, but we worry about its effect on others. So, for instance, in the ratio we said basar, it says I'm not going to eat meat. So that's, we take them literally. What's included under meat? What's the category of meat include?
Meat.
Right. So is it just meat? Or does it include rotan and kippah? Oh, does it even include things that are flavored by meat? Right? So that's what we said. And the Rabbanon, believe let's at least go now with the Rabbanon, right, that when you say basar, you simply mean, as Joel said, meat. Right? Nothing else. Whereas you say basar zeh, so this is not, you're not restricting yourself in meat in general, you're restricting yourself from a specific piece of meat. Once you circumcise a piece of meat, then that restriction not only applies to the meat itself, but that meat has, right, the ability to affect other items, which is it can flavor them. So not only are you restricted in the meat or piece of meat itself, you're restricted in the influence of that meat, and that's the flavor that meat gives off.
See, personally, I would say that somebody who restricts himself from meat, they have to question that person's sanity, and therefore maybe they shouldn't be restricted in anything. Clearly not in their right mind when they...
So now the Gemara, or not the Mishnah, now the Gishon have to deal with, and this is why you have the mongrel-sized ran over here, which is, of course, we once again are introduced to a Shas Sugya. And what is that Shas Sugya? That's the problem of Davar Sheyeshlo Matirin. Right, so what do we know about a Davar Sheyeshlo Matirin? Something that has a matirin, we say in general, there is no bitul by an item that eventually will not be restricted or could be removed from its restriction. And therefore, items like chametz shaval pesach, not avar lo, but chametz pesach, right, that will become mutter afterwards. Other items, muksa on Shabbos, items that are only temporarily restricted, we say that they are not bitul, that they don't, you can't just remove their isur, because we tell you, wait. If you just wait, it'll become mutar. So why be mafil, right? Why use the general principles of bitul, right, that will override this item, when simply we can wait and it'll be better. Or the other possibility is because it will eventually become mutar, right, therefore we say that the restriction is not mutar because it has some sort of chashivus to it, in the sense that it will be mutar eventually, and that chashivus doesn't allow you to be mevatelet. Either way, we generally have this principle that davar sheyesh lo matirin, you cannot wipe out when there's bitul. But our Mishnah just said, what are nidarim? Nidarim, we've said throughout the Torah, davar sheyesh lo matirin. Why? Because you can be mashil on a neder. You can ask for hataras nidarim. Or you're...
You can be nidarim for just a fixed
time. Right. Very good. So, or your neder could be for a limited duration. So if that's the case, then the meat is really a davar sheyesh lo matirin. And yet our Mishnah suggests what? That if you... If you leave the meat or the meat flavors something, then it's usur only if it is notain tam. That sounds like regular principles of bitul, right? That it's all about the flavoring. It's not bitul afilu be'elef. It says here, no notain tam, not notain tam. So how could it be? How could it be that here we have a darshish moment and we're saying that it is bitul? If it's not notain tam, then it's bitul. So that's the problem that the Rishonim face. And now, we have to deal with that. The other little issue is the Rif. And the Rif, Paskins, in Rif Paskins in Gidan Asher, which is right the Perek in Tchulin, that he Paskins that a bread that's cooked in the same oven as a roast, right, a bread and roast are cooked together in the same oven. So now we have a principle, this is another principle, this is generally Mark Sokham actually makes this clear, that you're not allowed to have bread that's milchik, or obviously fleishik as well, that because, unless there's a clear siman on the bread, that it's milchik or it's fleishik, because we're afraid that if you make milchik bread, someone will come to eat it with meat, or if you make fleishik bread, they'll come to eat it with cream cheese, with milchik.
Right?
So stampas has to be pyrek. The underlying assumption in bread, unless otherwise noted, and the noting can't simply be necessarily the packaging, might have to be the shape, or the bread has to be, on the bread itself, has to be indicative that it's a different type of bread. And therefore, here you have a piece of bread that was cooked with its leaf, with a roast. So now you have...
If bread is milchik, the exception is Thomas's endless milk.
Right, there you go.
Because it's a different
shape. Right, so they ran into a problem. So that was the general head.
So there's cinnamon raisin bread.
Right, so they have the English.
I think they stopped giving
it for that. They had a the general So the English muffins were easy because Thomas' English muffins were milchik, and they were, as you said, a different shape, and therefore they were matzah. The problem was that more recent years, Thomas' English muffins came out with a para version of the muffins. So that started to run into a problem, because now you have muffins that are para and muffins that are milchik in the same shape. Although I think they continue to give a shkafa. I don't know if they just assume everything is milchik, even though they're para, but there is an issue. But here, anyway, the rif is a psakalacha. You have bread that was cooked in the same oven as a tzli, as a roast. Right? Even though we say that rechaz lav milsa, because rechaz lav milsa, that air flavor, does not really matter. So generally we wouldn't say that flavor is transferred through the same air, as long as there's no liquid, as long as there's no adim, as long as there's no steam, right? Then the flavor is not transferred. So here by a tzli, a roast, and by a piece of bread, there's no liquid moisture there. Never would assume that generally they're not pest. But this bread is a davar she'esh lo matirin. Why is it davar she'esh lo matirin? Because you can eat the bread with fleshik. And the bread does not have to be eaten, right? It's not restricted forever. It's not restricted to anybody. It can be eaten with a fleshik meal. So therefore, the rif paskins, that you, since you can eat it with meat, therefore, it's not even batel be'elef. And otherwise you could have had, if Reichas Lav Milsagi, you could have said that the small flavor that it's given by the tzli goes into the bread is batel in the whole bread, and the bread still remains parach. But the Rif says, no, the bread is fleshik, because that small flavor isn't even batel be'elef, because its bread is davar she'yesh lo matir. Now this is a different...
Wait, you're saying that according to the bread that's baked, fleshik, let's say, is, you can't eat it with fleshik?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, according to the Rif, because it is a davar she'esh lo matirin, because you can't eat it with fleshik. Yeah.
So I thought we just said the bread.
We told you, you're not allowed to.
If you break it, if you make it yourself, then you.
Even when you bake yourself, you're supposed to put a siman in it. If you fail to do this, I mean, the restriction is there abanan, that you shouldn't bake bread because we don't want people getting confused.
Right.
If you do bake the bread is not asur, it's not a chefsa shalisur. Right? It's just, it's a fleshik bread or it's a milk bread. It's not a chefsa shalisur. But his point is that the minimum amount of flavor will make it into fleshik bread, because the bread is not usur. And the bread's not, once it has fleshik, it's not a hefsir shalisur. It's just you have to eat it with fleshik, so now you can't eat it with milk. So he says that's a davar she'esh lo matirin, although it's different than a normal davar she'esh. Davar she'esh lo matirin is that it's all usur now, and later on it's mutar. Here it's mutar from day one, right? So that is a clear difference in what the Rif's saying. But, okay, so now why does this all matter, and why do we care? Because the Rishonim come up with a solution to our problem here. And that they say that davar she'esh lo matirin is eino batel be'elef, that's only min b'mino. It's only when the two items are the same, let's call them items, same flavor, same category, then they're not. So if you have two pieces of meat, right, and a piece of meat that eventually will become mutar, say it's muksa of the meat, whatever the problem is with the meat that will eventually become mutar, that piece of meat, it gets mixed up with other pieces of meat, then it's asur. Why? And it's inubata ofil be'el, because it's a davar she'esh lo matirin, and it's min b'mino. That's it. But when it's min shebe'eino mino, when it's an item that's not in its own min, then we say, even the davar she'esh lo matirin, it's batel b'shishim, it's batel b'notein tam.
Is that, is min b'mino is batel b'lo in general, and b'shenom mino is shishim, in fact, is what is...
It's the other way, yeah. Shein omino is usually the one that we're made go in. But anyway, we're going to see that in a second. We'll see in the Ryan in a second. But generally, shein omino, we believe, is batel benotein tam. And min mimino, according to review, is not batel. According to chachamim, is, we'll see in a second, is batel.
It works benotein tam. So it's the opposite. We're more
mekel in... No, generally, our more mekel min shein omino. It's batel berov, right? Whereas,
what?
Min b'mino is not batel at all. Min shein omino is batel berov.
B'shishim.
B'shishim. Sorry, no thing comes. Thank you.
It's just batel berov.
Right. All these things are batel berov. At least we assume, even the davar she'esh lo matirin, it seems to be an issue d'rabbanan, not an issue d'oraisa. Right. So the. So here you have no din tam by min b'mino and eino mino. So that would work nicely, right? Everything would be great, except for the rif. So that would solve the problem of our mission. All you have to say is, generally, davar she'esh lo matirin is not batel. When the Gemara says eino batel be'elef, that's not in cases of min b'mino. Our mission over here that says that it's batel but no din tam, even though it's davar she'esh lo matirin, which is a neder, that's in a case where it's min she'eino mino. So now, what do you do with the problem? Is the riff. The riff said what? You have bread and meat. Bread and meat, and it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, quote unquote. The bread is davar sheyesh lo matirin. And so why should the bread absorb the flavor of the meat? Meaning that the bread is far in excess of the notin tam of the meat, and therefore the bread should remain parif. The bread should not be fleshik at all. How come the Rif paskin that bread is fleshik bread? Right, it has to be eaten with basar, and it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So what do we do with that? So that's what everybody, what all the Rishonim do. Right, all the Rishonim say, Galocha is, min she'enu mino, batel benotein tam, by the davar sheyesh lo matirin. Min v'mino is, right, not batel at all, by davar sheyesh lo matirin. What do we do with the Rif? That's gone. That's wrong.
We say the bread has a different type of, because the bread swallows, it becomes more like it's meat.
It's not the issue. That's not the issue there. But
meat and pleasure, you know, so it's...
Right. The issue there, because it's rechalav milsa, there's really very little absorbed there, because there's no moisture in the situation. There's no moisture. It shouldn't have been a problem. I understand what you're saying, that bread is show wave. Yeah. Bread is show wave. The Gemara has that in Pesachim also, that with the bread that's on top of the yayin, if it's hot or if it's cold, when they put the bread on top of the yayin, is it show wave? There is such a concept by bread, but that's not the issue in where Riff's talking about. That's not the issue. The issue is simply a question that he says the davar sheyesh lo matirin. And there, so the people, they reject the Riff.
If you cook meat with leaven, there's presumably you couldn't eat with gravy, whatever.
But here it's a roast. It's a roast on a spit, so there's no gravy. That's why. The whole point is that it's a tzli.
And it still gives off.
This says the minimal amount that's given off there is not enough. It should be batel in the item, right? Obviously the case. The Rif has to come up with this issue that it's davar sheyesh lo matirin is the problem here, not that there's reich l'milsa. Right? That's not. Alright. So the other Rishonim deal, where they go, they throw the Rif out. Right? They basically say that the Rif is wrong. And the case is like this. But the Ran over here agrees with the Rif. The Ran says the Rif is right, but so are the other Rishonim. Now the Rif has to solve that problem. This is what his, spent his time with over here. So I'll read with you a section of the
All the riffs we have today, we don't know tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, physically.
Yeah.
I thought I got to spend most of my grandfather, back from Europe, and the riff was like a set of six volumes, standalone.
I'm sure it was written originally. It was written as a separate entity. A lot of these things. Some of these were never written on the daf necessarily, but they were the printers eventually moved them on to the daf. Right?
Shir from Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, about how they made the decision to put Rashi and Tosfos on the daf and to put it in the back, and they when they were setting up the Vilna Shas.
That's what the things trying to get from that Thomas from.
Okay. All right. So if you look. Here. So if you look in the Ran, this is going to be, it's going to be so easy to find because the Ran is massive. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 17 lines down in the wide lines, the widest lines in the Ran, 17 lines down. And it says in the middle of that line, Elu Devivrei Arishonim Zal.
What's
the first word of the line?
The
There's a dot here for that.
Right. Oh, you guys have a dot in there? Reli Nirin. Okay, good. All right, so you guys are there. So I agree with the Rif. Because when it says here that davar sheyesh lo matirin be'eino mino is batil, hani mili kosher osur achshav. That's only when something is osur now. V'atid liot nitar. And in the future will become mutar. Achar zman ki nitarim. Just like nitarim. Shemekai v'ayle kevin to rabbanan b'kuhu. So the first thing the Ran says is that there's a difference, which I pointed out to you in the case of the Rif, that the Rif has a strange form of davar sheyesh lo matirin here. Our case of davar sheyesh lo matirin is something that is also the legam right now, and only in a later period of time will become mutar. Whereas the Rif's case of davar sheyesh lo matirin is a case where it's mutar right now. said you could eat this bread with chalashik. Right now, there's no real isser now. There's no restrictions. There's a restriction with a certain item, but it's not that bread is asur. So he says that's the first difference. He says for between the Ritz case and our case over here, or the other case that the Rishonim spoke about. So he differentiates one.
It's restricted, not asur.
Right.
Its use is restricted.
Right. That's okay. That's a good way. Yeah, good way to formulate it. So now that's, he says, number one, the difference. Number two, he says, well, let's start back and understand the difference. Why is it by Davar Sheish L'Matirim there's a difference between min b'mino and min she'eino mino? Why is there such a difference? Like, tell me, like, but why would you ever differentiate as such? All right? So this, the Ron, here, if you skip down a couple lines, we'll skip from where we are in the Ron, the Tamosho Davar, just skip two lines down, and then Lefi. You see Lefi? Just two lines from where we are in the Ron right now. It says, Lefi Shekol Davar. Yeah, that two lines where we just stopped. The Tamosho Davar were the first words on that line that we just stopped on. If you just go straight down two lines, it says, Lefi Shekol Davar. Got it? Lefi Shekol Davar. Shudome Lechavero, Eino Machlisho Umevatlo. Elamamido umechazko. So this is US. Right. The opposite of what you had thought. If something that is similar to another item, it does not wipe it out. It does not, it's not mevatel it, but rather, it does not weaken it, but rather it strengthens its characteristic. And therefore, Moshim Hachi, Spirle the Rabbi Yehuda, Bakulu Isure. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and all Isurim, the Min Bemino, Lo Batel. The min b'mino is not batel because min b'mino are similar and therefore they cannot be mivatel each other. They rather strengthen the unique characteristics of whatever item is there. Whereas the Rabbanan, lo mashal mevachi. The Rabbanan don't argue that way. Why? Mikom makom min b'mino d'isir v'heter eino domim zeh l'zeh. So listen to the Chavim. The Chavim say, well, min b'mino is really not min b'mino. Why? Because it depends what you're focused on. If you focus on the meat itself, you're right. You have two pieces of meat, and that's min b'mino. But if you look at the characteristic of the meat, one meat piece of meat is asur, and one piece of meat is mutar. So that is also min she'eino, because you have a piece of meat of heter and a piece of meat of iser. And those are different types of meat. Those different types of meat are able to be mevatel each other. Because they focus, when they focus on the min b'mino, or min she'eino b'mino, they don't focus on the physical characteristics of the meat, but rather their, right,
halachic
status. Right, so that's exactly right. Rabbanan lo mashal hachim, mekom makom min b'mino, the ish v'heter, in a dom mezelzeh. Kevin d'chad asher, v'chad shari, shein ro'i lelech, achar dimyonam be'etzem. You don't go after their physical qualities. Elachar chilukam b'isir v'heter. Their halachic qualities. And that will determine whether it is min b'mino, the min b'mino. Elohainu.
So they would say, you know, I'm trying to think how to formulate it.
Isser and heter are different meaning. That's meat, usser meat and milk meat, and mutar meat are not two pieces of meat. They are two different categories entirely. There's a piece of meat that's asur and a piece of meat that's mutar, and those are different they're different qualitative pieces of meat.
Trade meat with tevel vegetables is min b'mino according to that.
All right, possibly. Okay, very good. Right. Okay, very possibly. Right.
No, I would say that he's adding on. He's definitely physically different. I mean, the scriptures, even if they're not different.
Okay, so that's the Ron's going to say something.
He just specifically said that you don't go after
the etzionim. All right, so now the Ron's going to say. All right.
You mean that as?
Okay, so let's go to the next line. Right, yeah. Very good. So let's look at the next line. Exactly what you discussed, the Ron's going to discuss, and that's how he's going to come through to his finish. All right, so if you just skip from where we are in the Ron, just go down one line. It says, Dihi Chechi. Right, he said, Dihi Chechi. Dihi Chechi. The Rabbi Yehuda, Ozo Achar Dimyonam Ha'etzen, Ozo Rabbanan Achar Dimyonam Heter. Lefikach. Kol shechalukim be'isr v'heter, afilu min b'mino batil. Tehavi lei kemin she'einu mino. Mishum ha'chi amrinam b'davar she'ish le'matirim, nadu rabbanan mishum chumrat the Rabbi Yehuda.
Because eventually it's going to become
mutar, right? Because why? So the rabbanan are going to start thinking like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to min b'mino by davar she'ish le'matirim. Because you have what?
Because not your meaning.
Right, because you have heter, and eventually heter. Right, so since you have a heter and eventually heter, then you have what? It means min b'mino. So if it's min b'mino, then according to the chachamim, they look like
a content that does strengthen
themselves. Right, exactly. The kevan the shein davar zeh chaluk min a heter legamrei be iser v'heter, since it's not totally separated. Shafu b'sofu liol nitar kamo'u. Amrina and sheinu batel b'mino. And therefore we say it's not batel b'mino. Tiyachi haba damu tuba chada shehein shavim b'min vo chenim chalukim l'garim v'smeter. Because here, they're not even, they have two things that are negative. Number one is their physical properties, they're the same. And number two is, even in their isser v'heter properties, they're not really so different. One is mutar, and one is mutar in the future. So that's, they can't say. Umshum hachi lo batil ela b'she'ein omino. But now you have to explain why, according to the chachamim, when it comes to davar she'esu matirin, b'min she'ein omino, why is it mutar? Kidei she'otu chilek she'esh ben mino l'she'ein omino, yashlim oto shivui, right, she'nitol safkan, shum davar she'esu matirin. So they come are willing to take the physical qualities, right, and add that to the quasi halachic differences. Right, the fish shechilu b'shevena minim sibat habitul hashibi noten shloyu b'telim. So what the Ron suggests over here is that if you look today at an item, and today you have one item that is mutar, one item that is asur. So according to the Chachamim, that should be something that is batel, right? Bit notein tam. The only problem is, in the future, one of these items will become heter. So Chachamim say, well, we don't really have a full min she'ein omino, because the quote-unquote ein omino on the other side doesn't really look so ein omino, because eventually it'll become mutar. But he says, on the other hand, it's not totally min b'mino, because if you look at it today, they really are different. So in that instance, the Chachamim are willing to look at the physical properties of the items and say, if between, meaning that, you know, sometimes we do this in halacha when we're mitzdarif kulas. So right here, they're being mitzdarif, right? One is, it really is today. In Isra B'Heter, today, it's min she'en omino. All right, you're right. In the future, it'll become min, right, shebemino. But today, it's min shebein omino. But you have that weakness that in the future, it'll become min shebemino. So how do we deal with that weakness? We say we also need the physical properties to be different. So Chavim are only going to agree that here, that items are mevatel each other when it has these two kulas. One kula is that today it's min she'en omino by halakha standards. And number two is, it's also got a difference in the physical properties. So those two kulas will solve the weakness of having in the future it become mutar. Whereas if in the future it becomes mutar and they're min b'mino, then you simply have a weakened form of halakha dimyon, and therefore we say no, that it's not mutar because you don't have this other kula of min she'en omino.
So that's why it's not up. Min she'en omino physically, halakhically. I mean, you never have a case like that, because every time it's asr, it's also because halachically it's different. But when you learn all the Marzal Kulin, whatever it is that talks about min she'en omino and people come
right,
to
the common belief, min she'en omino and min she'en omino, right, are both batel minotein tam, and the Ran is saying because of this issue that isr v'heter are different, halachic status. So that brings up your issue, which is possibly the issue, right, that if you have, like what Shaul suggested, if you have two isurim from different minim, maybe that should be different. But the Chachamim have a category called isr. Right, Isser Heter, Isser right, Basar, and Isser right, Tevel may not right be different. Right, so that seems to be the case here, at least the way the Ron's explaining. All right, then so now we can understand quickly. You can understand how he explains the riff. Right, you guys can see the logic already. What's the difference in the riff's case? What's the status today in the riff's case of the bread? It's mutar legamrei. Today the bread is edible with meat, right? So today, you don't have, in the Ron's case, you have two things that are beneficial to you. You have Isser and Heter today, and you have Min She'en Omino today. In the Rif's case, you never have that first Kula, which is what? That it's Min She'en Omino and Heter and Isser today, because you have Heter and Heter. Right? If you have Heter and Heter, then the only thing that's making it, what?
Physical
is the physical differences. And the physical differences are not sufficient, right, to create Heter. And that's how he solves the Ron. The Ron says, I can pass him like the Rif, and I can also explain this Rishna like the other Rishonim do. And that's because you have to look at the underlying reason why Min She'en Omino works, and why the Chachamim believe Min She'en Omino is Batel B'Notein Tam, because they believe there's a lot of difference, not a physical difference.
What's the color of the Batel? There's no, the both right there, and the fact that the different meaning should make a difference.
Okay, so that's a, because,
Well, you just said, because it's really, you have two parallel sets of criteria.
No, because the
Pope had there.
Right. Yeah, but once they're cooked together, it becomes a chaticha shalus isur. The problem
that's
is really
that. That's the combination.
But that's the issue. The issue is not. Basar and chalab getting together is a Torah prescription that says when you cook basar and chalab together, it becomes a chaticha shalisur. That becomes, that's a product that is a sur.
So it's one isur, so it shouldn't be basar either. I mean, you're saying the only reason between the basar because you have a different.
No, yeah, so if you have.
Right, I mean, you're right.
It isn't. I mean, that if you have.
No, but what of the ashishim?
Only if it falls into something that's, you know, if it falls into something, no, it is right there.
I have a milk that falls into me, and that's in one of the 60, according to saying, no, it should not be butter.
Oh, because you're saying that if you have a milk, right, okay, I see what you're saying. I didn't understand what you're saying. All right, so you have milk that's head there that falls into
meat
that is head there, right? You're saying, why should we even be makil, but noting Tom here, because that, according to the Ran, according to Chum, is meat the meat. Right, because it's head there and head there. Because you have head there of milk and you have head there of meat, and therefore, why should it work here? Okay, I hear what you're saying.
And according to Rabbi Yehuda, does he mean that min b'sheino mino, physical min b'sheino, does he hold that? I mean, so Rabbi Yehuda.
No, Rabbi Yehuda says that physical, for Rabbi Yehuda, it's easy to see why it goes down. Yeah, because
right, it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, conceptually, it's more maker than Rabbanan, in case we only have a. I'm sure Allah has an answer for the question.
Right.
Conceptually, Rabbi Yehuda is more maker to the physical
difference.
Right. Rabbi Yehuda goes by the physical difference, not by the Isser. It's a concept. According to Rabbanan, go by the Isser. Therefore, the Rabbanan get mean b'mino in the back door because it's a Isser Neter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he goes with the physical aspect only. That means he doesn't care if it's Isser or not Isser.
Right.
Basar b'chalav, you could see where it would be different because the whole nature of the Isser, basar b'chalav, is that you're taking two things that are independently in the term. And by bringing them together, that's where you have an issue.
Right, I think you have
the
to
whole,
ask.
The whole issue of bringing them together,
I think you have to differentiate. I think that's what you'd have to answer. Is what something which like Shaul is saying is that by the pot here that we're talking about, it's not because it's head to the gamri, but the issue is already in the pot. You know, the flavor is in the pot.
The
combo is a head there. Right, where that's not true. With Basar b'chalav, the combo is not a head there.
Point.
Right, so I think that's
how you differentiate. The whole.
Right. All right. So, anyways, that's why there's this little Gemara, which seems innocuous, otherwise innocuous. Right. And nevertheless, we say that after this Mishnah, this Ran is really, creates a mapecha in understanding of both noting Basar with noting Tam and not noting Tam. And how we view them. So anyway, it's a tremendous run here, and I just want to point it out because it's so we've only done three lines in the Gemara, so
alright,
so now here we go. Let's start the Gemara. The rest of the Gemara is going to flow. It's pretty very very straightforward, just basic questions that the Gemara has. We dealt with the major issue of the
that definition that the Ran establishes of according to the Chacham. Anyone else accept that?
I'm not well versed enough to know. I think others do would accept this, or it's accepted. I don't know if that's the only way they formulate min b'mino or explaining min b'mino, but min she'en b'mino for the Chacham. But that's I'm not sure that the Ran's formulation is unique to the Ran. I don't think that's it's in his innovation. All right. So Ruminu min adashim asur ba'ashishim. Right, someone who restricts himself in lentils. Right, it's usur and ashishim. What are ashishim? Ashishim are some sort of bread that has lentil flour mixed into it. So it's not lentils literally, but it has lentil flour in it. So here you say adashim. If I restrict myself in lentils, I'm restricted in this lentil bread. We'll call it lentil bread. Rabbi Yossi matir, and yet Rabbi Yossi says it's mutar. This seems to be what? Look, that's the opposite of what they say in the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said if you said chalav, it includes the kum. If you said, right, where the Chum said, if you said Chalav, it does not include the Kum, and here we have the exact opposite, right, presentation of their positions. Right here, Rabbi Yossi says, Adashim does not include Ashishim, and Chum said that Adashim does include Ashishim. So it's the exact opposite. Most of the Rishonim here believe that it's a question on the Rabbanan and on Rabbi Yossi. The Ran here goes out of his way to say it's only a question on Rabbi Yossi, the Chum, it's not a question on, I don't know, I don't think, I mean, who might have said this, but his position doesn't seem so strong to me. I think it looks like it's a question on both of them, and the Gemara's answer will answer it for both of them. Lokasha, Markiatre, Umarkiatre. Each one according to his own city. Batra, Zerabana, Karla, Chalva, Chalva, Lukuma, Kuma. City the Rabbanan, when it came to chalav, they called chalav was milk. And he went to a kum, was called kum. But after Rabbi Yossi, the kuma, namikarle kuma de chalva. It did not have a... Right. It didn't have its own name. It just had, it was a subset of chalav, meaning it was kuma de chalva. The fact that chalav is mentioned in the name of the kum already makes it a, you know, like subcategory of milk, and therefore he was asked. The chalav had an independent name called kum, therefore it's not in the subcategory of milk. Right, it's the exact same thing you would say. The Gemara doesn't explicitly say that, but that would mean the same is the other way around. Right, it's a metzias, which the Priscus wouldn't like, but it's a metzias issue, which you had before now in the Dharm.
Yeah, we've seen it a lot of times.
Right, that it's Markiatri, that it has to do with the Lashonos. Right, Tanya, another mina chalav mutar b'kum, mina kum mutar b'chalav. We have a brisa, this is the brisa that Duran claims Rabbi Yossi, we prove from here that Rabbi Yossi does not agree to it. I'm not sure I see it, but Tanya, another, well, neither did the other Rishon, but Tanya, another mina chalav mutar b'kum, mina kum mutar b'chalav. Someone takes neder from chalav is mutar b'kum, and kum is mutar b'chalav. Min chalav mutar b'gvina. If you take from milk, you're allowed to have cheese. Min cheese, min gvina mutar b'chalav is mutar milk. Min rotev mutar b'kipah. If you restrict gravy, you're allowed in the residue at the bottom of the pot. Min kipah from the residue at the bottom of the pot mutar b'rotev. You're okay with the gravy. Imamar. So this is the end of our mission. Basar zeh alai asur bo uberotvo ubekipo. Right, because then when you say basar zeh, it becomes a chadikah shel isur, and then any noting kam affects it. So the rotei, the gravy, and the residue at the bottom of the pot will be asur. Another mina yayin, one who restricts themselves in wine, mutar b'tavshil sheish bo tam yayin. Then the flavor of wine is not restricted because he just restricted him from wine, meaning literally wine. Right? But konim yayin zeh she'eni toim, over here it has the word zeh. Now again, I don't know if those Rishonim would take it out in the Mishnah, maybe take it out here also. So kaim she'eni toim, but nafal tochtav she'el falls into a cooked item. Yeshbol not tam, right? If it has tam yayin, hari zeh asur. Again, because you restricted the item, it became a chatichah shel asur. Once it becomes a chatichah shel asur, we're not worried simply about what your subcategories or subsets of the item are, but rather worried about what flavor, because this item is a chatichah surah, and then if it can pass flavor to other items. Another mina navim mutar b'yayin. Someone restricts himself in grapes. Does not intend to restrict himself in wine. Mina zeitim, olives. He means olives, but mutar b'shemen, in olive oil. If he says that these items, these specific grapes or olives, are restricted, then he's restricted in them and any. Right?
Derivatives.
Right, derivatives of these items, any liquids that come out of them. That includes wine and shemen. So by Rami Bar Chama, this is why Shaul, I read the Mishnah the way I did, was because this is the question of Rami Bar Chama. Listen to this question. Elu dafka, o she'eni toim dafka. Right? What is driving a chatichah shel isurah here? Is it the term elu or zeh? Right? Zeh and elu are the same. Or is it she'eni toim that's driving the difference here? So, right, if the Mishnah always said Elu in all of them, then right, then we know that it's Elu that's doing it. I mean, the fact that the Mishnah take out the word Elu in the other cases, it seems to be that the Eni Toim might be that's driving it, right?
Within Zemri, in general, we've said that because it's in a seemingly unnecessary addition,
very good.
He must mean something by it. So,
right. So that's a right, that's exactly right. Ron actually spent time. I didn't... Did I do this? I don't know if that was today or stuff. Ryan spent time on that, on yesterday's stuff. This idea that if you add extraneous language, then that should have, that has impact. And extraneous language have an impact, and he points out that by that works by Nedarim, by Shavua, where when you say She'eni Toim, right, or She'eni Ochel, it makes a difference. She'eni Ochel, you want only to be usher in eating, not in toim. So you can't call that extraneous language. Whereas if you say She'eni Toim, right, then that's extraneous, because otherwise you'd be usher in everything. And when you say any toim, it would be, right, seems extraneous, because I wouldn't even taste it. Right, so why do you need to say it? Because I could have said She'eni Ochel. But the Ryan points out, even when you say She'eni Ochel, it's extraneous, because I could have said Achilles Alai, something like that. But the problem is by Shavuos, you can't do such a thing. Since you can't do such a thing by Shavuos, then by Shavuos, when you do this, it would not consider extraneous language, and therefore would not make it into a chatichah shel isurah. Just interesting, but what Shaul points out is just important, that when we say these languages affect the item, you have to think of it, is it really necessary, the language, or is it unnecessary? If it's unnecessary, you have to think, what did he do by putting in this unnecessary language? What extra issue did he create? All right, so now, by Ramachama, Elu Dafka or She'eni Toim Dafka, which is driving it to be a chatichah shel isur? Isa Chadatka Elu Dafka, if you say that it's Elu Dafka, She'eni Toim, lovely. Why do we have the term She'eni Toim in the Mishnah? Right, not. Mean that they put the word any toim to tell you that it's elu and not elu. Mean that otherwise you would have thought maybe any toim works the same way. The fact that Mishnah explicitly mentions any toim and still has the word elu there, that shows you.
It
could be. It's the Gemara here that's all we're showing here point out. It could be just the opposite. If you say any toim is dafka, then it means that elu is mentioned to show you that.
You don't need it.
Right. You don't. That even if you have it, doesn't make a difference. All right. The all we're saying is it goes both ways. So Amar Rava Tashma, Konim Peruta elu alai. Right, koneim heim lepi, aser b'chilufahem ugdilehem. So this is what we had right in the last part. Right, that when you say koneim perus elu alai, then what? Then it includes chilufahem and dilehem, exchanges and their aftergrowth. Habiyotzvahem mutar. Sounds like, I mean, it would have been as big a chiddush to mention that anything that's a flavor from them is also aser. How come they only mention chilufahem and gedilehem? So I says, who at the end of the Yotzeh Master? Comes to teach us that Chilufa them is a bigger Kiddush, because what? You don't have anything that's left of the original item. Whereas by noting Tom, where you say that it's giving out flavor, the original item is providing a portion of what's there now. So Tashma, let's try something else. She'eni Ochel, v'she'eni Toim. Mutar b'chilufahem u'b'dulehem. Sounds like, what, if I say Shani Ochel, Shani Toim, then Chilufim and Dilem, okay. Ha Yotze Mehen Asur. But what, that the Yotze Mehen would be Asur. Amar says, alright, Ein Hokanami, that you could make that deal. The problem is, either the Lonasi Beresha, Yotze Mehen, Lonasi Nami Beseifa. That is the Seifa of the mission that we just said above. And the first part of the mission, it didn't mention Yotze Mehen, because that wasn't a big Kiddush. Therefore, in the Seifa, it also didn't mention them, even though there, it might have been a Kiddush, because but you say that Ichluvim and Gudulim are mutar, maybe Yotzeim should be Asur. But the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Right, so not Vesefah, so Yotzeim. Tashma, another proof. Amar Yehuda Maisiv, also Rabbi Tarfon Alai, Beitzim Shnibashlu Imo. Right, so that Rabbi Tarfon said that eggs that are cooked with the meat, again, it's like the eggs in the cholent. Right, you throw eggs in the cholent, the eggs assume the flavor of the cholent. So therefore, it is, these eggs are now Asur. But Amru Lo, what do they say back to him? Ematai b'zman shomer baser ze alai. Only way he says baser ze alai, shanoder min adavar, b'nitar v'bachar v'yishma notin tamar ze asur. That's our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah use the term? Ze. There's no any poem in that line in the Mishnah, right?
Elu.
But no, elu is ze. It's the same thing. Elu and ze are interchangeable.
We learn to elu.
Yeah, elu. That's equivalent. Ze and elu are the same. It's just you're designating this specific item. Right, so Gemara says, be'elu lo kami b'ilon, tadapku. Now, everybody agrees that if you use the word elu, that works. That works. The question is, can we buy a line with Shani Toim, Dafka or Love Dafka? Shani Toim, do I need the word elu, or do I not need the word elu? Right? Does Shani Toim work by itself or not work by itself? So that's why the Rishonim shall have to leave out the word elu in our mission, otherwise it's obvious. That what? Why would the Mishnah, if the Mishnah said Elu and any Toim, why do they mention Elu?
Right.
If they want to show that any Toim works also,
there'd be no
question. Yeah, you have to have one part of the Mishnah read Elu and one part of it read any Toim. And that's what you have to say in order that you have a question about what any Toim works.
Well, the end of the price is that we don't know if any Toim, we don't know that we need Elu, so isn't that not proof that we really need Elu?
We don't know. It's a suffix. Yeah, we don't know yet.
I mean, you have to put Elu.
But Elu is the first case, so we know Elu works. Everybody agrees Elu works. That's not the question. The question is, does any Toim work?
Right, so.
So he's not saying that that's what Elu is saying, that that's what.
Everybody knows that Elu, if you use the word Elu, it's a chetichash alisura. My question is, now when I use any Toim, is it also a chetichash alisura?
There's no proof that any Toim doesn't work.
Right. Okay, Tashma, Dag, Dagim. So we had this, right? This is earlier, Mishnah, we just said. Dag, Dagim, Shani Toim, Osir Behem, Ben Migdolim, Ben Mekhtanim, Ben Mekhayim, Ben Mushalim. Mutar b'tarik shufa u'batzir, right? So over here, what do you say? You use the word dag and dagim she'eni toim, and we say we're also in them. They're big, small, chayim, whether they're raw, right, sushi or cooked. But he's allowed to have tarik shufa where they're mixed up, and that's a case of no tain tam. Meaning that from the actual fish is there, you still say it's mutar. So what do you see? That any toim doesn't work. So amaravu kvar yatsa mehem. No. That the case was a unique case. What was the case? Where the oils or the pieces already were taken away before you restricted it. He restricted it after he took those pieces out already. So therefore, they're not subsumed or derivative of the Isur. And that's why it's working in that mission. But maybe if they were together, it would work. Okay, so that's the Gemara, just the Inyan Halacha. Just quickly, the Ron writes over here, the Inyan Halacha, that he says that when you use Elu or Zeh, for sure, right, that it's not work, and then it's a chatichah shalisura, and we would say that it's asur. What about any tolein? It's a baya delo yipshita. Again, it's the Gemara does not conclude, and therefore what? Naftina l'chumra. We always go l'chumra. Right. So that's the issue. But now, the Ran brings down over here a difference in opinion that the since he, all right, you know what? We won't get into it because it's a little late. But I just point out if you want to look in the Ran brings down a machlokes in the Rambam and himself over here about how does any tolein work, or whether it should work, or why the extraneous lashon. This is what you were asking about, Shaul. When you have an extraneous lashon, whether that is impactful or not impactful, and that's what he spends his time about. What I said before, that you have to look at what the alternative was. Was there an alternative for him to formulate it, or was there not an alternative for him to formulate it? That's the Ran says. As long as there's an alternative for him to formulate it, the extraneous lashon means that he was asur it. And then we are koshesh for the suffix. That makes it into chetikha shel asur. So the exception to the case, he says, is the case of shvua. But shvua, the word achila, or sheni toim, makes a difference, right? And therefore, since it's not extraneous lashon, then by shvua, you would not say this, that the sheni toim is extraneous. Since it's not extraneous, then we can't say that it's a suffix here, because he needed a language to define exactly what he wanted to restrict. And therefore it would not be. So therefore he did passes the difference between the Dvarim and Shvua with this issue. Whereas the Rambam does not differentiate. And that's his point.
And there's on the Chifetz and Shvua is on the...
Right, but because of that you could formulate them in different ways. And since you could formulate the Neder in a different way, then it becomes extraneous in the case of Neder. But Shvua, since you could not formulate it in a different way, that makes it a problem. So I'll give the example.
Alright,
so here, we'll go quickly. I'll show you the Ran. It's on the Gimel Amud Aleph. The Ran's on the Gimel Amud Aleph. So if you look, it's Ikala Meimar. It's right across from the first line in the Gemara. The first line in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. Look at the first line in the Gemara. It says, Ika, in the Ran right there, it says Ikala Meimar in the middle of that line. Ikala Meimar. Okay. So Ikala Meimar, came into Havi much of the Meimar, Konim Peir to Elu Bit Achila Alai, since he could have formulated that way, Kamar Sha'ani Ochel, or Sha'ani Ochel, when he does it that way, Abiyotu Mehen Mashmo, because he didn't need to formulate it that way. The fact that he formulated it that way already means that he's trying to do something more. Ba'amru Lefizeh, to be Shvua. You can't use the lashon of achila alai. You have to say she'eni ochel. It has to be the gavra that you're answering, right? On the option. Therefore, he has to say she'eni ochel or she'eni ochel because that's the only way he can formulate the shvua. Lo mitzvah beyotzvahem. Therefore, when it comes to that, that's not extraneous language, and therefore derivatives would not be asur in that case. Right, the loshon of neder, the loshon of shvua. Right, the lav should be toward the lishnahu, elisha loshon atzma mochiach. So the way the Ran formulated all the issue here is because it's extraneous language that's driving, right? The extraneous language that's driving whether we add on extraneous surim or derivatives. That's the way the Ran formulates. Therefore, you'll have a difference between shvua and neder. Whereas what could be the other possibility? The other possibility is it's just the language itself is something that is more inclusive than we thought. It's not that any ochel is extraneous, it's just that means any ochel or any toim means not only the item, but derivatives of the item. That's what that language means. It's a more inclusive language, not because of its being extraneous, but because of its natural, that's the way it's used.
That's the way it's used.
It's usage. And therefore, the Rambam paskins that even by Shavua, it'll be also because he thinks usage is the issue, not the part that is extraneous.
That might make more sense to me, actually.
Okay, I'm pointing it out to you. That's the Rambam, because you had mentioned it before about the language being extraneous. But it'll have an afkamino. You have to look then, if you believe that that's what's driving it here, you have to look at whether it really is extraneous or not. Yeah. And then you have an afkamino. Shavua, and then there you'll have different issues. If you hold simply the language is all inclusive, then it doesn't matter how you use it, that language, whenever you use it, has that issue.